From KPFK Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. In a speech at the White House on Wednesday, Donald Trump declared that Jerusalem was the capital of Israel and set into motion the process of moving the U.S. Embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. The move was unexpected and provoked global condemnation, including from traditional U.S. allies such as France, Britain, and Germany. Here's an excerpt from Trump's speech.
When I came into office, I promised to look at the world's challenges with open eyes and very fresh thinking. We cannot solve our problems by making the same failed assumptions and repeating the same failed strategies of the past. Old challenges demand new approaches. My announcement today marks the beginning of a new approach to conflict between Israel and the Palestinians. In 1995, Congress adopted the Jerusalem Embassy Act, urging the federal government to relocate the American Embassy to Jerusalem and to recognize that that city, and so importantly, is Israel's capital. This act passed Congress by an overwhelming bipartisan majority and was reaffirmed by unanimous vote of the Senate only 6 months ago. Yet for over 20 years, every previous American president has exercised the law's waiver, refusing to move the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem or to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital city. Presidents issued these waivers under the belief that delaying the recognition of Jerusalem would advance the cause of peace. Some say they lacked courage, but they made their best judgments based on facts as they understood them at the time. Nevertheless, the record is in. After more than two decades of waivers, we are no closer to a lasting peace agreement between Israel and the Palestinians. It would be folly to assume that repeating the exact same formula would now produce a different or better result. Therefore, I have determined that it is time to officially recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel.
And that was President Trump announcing on Wednesday that the U.S. would recognize Jerusalem. Now, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu received the news warmly, saying, quote, "We are profoundly grateful for the president for his courageous and just decision to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. He called on other nations to follow the U.S.'s lead. But the anger felt by Palestinians is all too real. The question of Jerusalem has been a critical one in Israeli-Palestinian clashes for decades. Will Trump's move further jeopardize prospects for peace and justice?" Joining me to discuss this is Huwaida Araf. She is a Palestinian-American human rights activist, lawyer, and co-founder of the International Solidarity Movement, and also the former chair of the Free Gaza Movement. She's currently the Palestine and Refugees Correspondent for Rising Up with Sonali. Welcome to the program, Huwaida.
Thank you for having me, Sonali.
So before we get into what impact Trump's announcement is already having, can you give our audience a context, a historical context for why this is such an important issue? One might imagine that Jerusalem being declared the capital of Israel is largely a symbolic move, but why does it provoke so much anger from Palestinians to see Trump do this? And why have many global leaders, leaders of European nations, refrained from declaring Jerusalem as Israel's capital?
Jerusalem is very important and close to the heart of Palestinians, certainly, but also Muslims and Christians around the world. It is the basis of and the center of all three monotheistic religions. It is the third holiest site in Islam, the first in Judaism, and the first in Christianity. for sure. Now, I don't look at this as a religious conflict at all, but it also has historical, we have to recognize the religious connections that people all over the world have to Jerusalem. But as far as history and politics goes, Palestinians have been in Jerusalem for centuries, hundreds and hundreds of years. And with the creation of the State of Israel, what happened is a lot of Palestinians were kicked out of Jerusalem, but still hang on to the possibility in the future and the need to be able to come back to Jerusalem. There are Palestinians that are in Jerusalem now. Jerusalem is understood when we are talking a framework for a peace process. And since 1993, the international community has been talking about a peace process between Israel and the Palestinians. It was understood within the framework of the Oslo Peace Accords that Jerusalem would be the capital of at least East Jerusalem would be the capital of a future Palestinian state. And the United States accepted that with its acceptance and mediation, brokering the peace process that has been going on since 1993 between Israel and the Palestinians. Now, legally, and I want to just put a little bit of a legal context in here because you asked why the international community does not agree with Trump in this move. Legally, Jerusalem is considered occupied territory. East Jerusalem is definitely, under international law, considered occupied Palestinian territory. But also West Jerusalem, the international community has never recognized the border of West Jerusalem and also the status of West Jerusalem, because in 1947, with the UN approved a plan for the area, which included Jerusalem being an international city. Now, with the war in 1948, Israel laid conquest to West Jerusalem. In 1967, they occupied East Jerusalem. And since 1967, Israel has been expanding the boundaries of Jerusalem, and it officially annexed Jerusalem. Annexed Jerusalem and has been referring to Jerusalem as the united, undivided capital of the State of Israel. This is not recognized under international law, as certainly the international community and countries around the world recognize East Jerusalem as being occupied Palestinian territory. And there have been UN resolutions since for decades now, the last one and a number of them being in 1980 UN Security Council resolutions, which have the force of law, that have condemned Israel's annexation of Jerusalem and have called on Israel to reverse the actions that it has taken to create facts on the ground in Jerusalem, and have called on countries with embassies or any kind of diplomatic missions in Jerusalem to pull that out and all countries around the world not to recognize this reality. What Donald Trump has decided to do is to lend credence or to try to legitimize an illegal situation under international law. What he said is, you know, in giving an excuse or trying to justify what he did yesterday, he said that all he was doing was recognizing what already existed on the ground or facts on the ground. The big problem with that is Israel is the powerful party in this. They have all the arms. They are one of the most powerful militaries in the world, up against a stateless population that have been demanding their freedom for decades, an occupied civilian population that is no match militarily. So when Israel does create these kind of facts on the ground, like annex territory, there isn't much that the Palestinians can do about it except protest and hope that the international community will take action to implement or get Israel to abide by international law. Sadly, the United States, which has put itself in the middle as an honest broker, has done nothing over the years to get Israel to abide by international law. And now, on top of that, Donald Trump has said that the United States recognizes the illegal situation of Jerusalem being the capital of the State of Israel.
Now, the issue of the division within Jerusalem is an important one, because, as you said, Palestinians want to have East Jerusalem be recognized as a capital of a future state. And Trump was apparently advised by Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, a leading Democrat, to use the term undivided capital, Jerusalem of Israel. Interestingly enough, Trump did not use the term undivided. Some say that that was a little bit of an olive branch. However, of course, just declaring Jerusalem the capital on its face is provocative enough. But what do you make of the fact that a senior Democrat is advising Trump to make this declaration and even went further than Trump did, wanting Trump to use the term undivided?
Well, sadly, it's not a surprise. The U.S. Congress has been in the pocket of AIPAC, the Israel lobby, and has been lending credence to Israel's illegal actions on the ground. What Chuck Schumer is essentially saying when you're saying undivided capital, this is completely erasing Palestinian presence from East Jerusalem, which Israel has been doing for decades. And they have been doing that by really trying to push Palestinians out of the city, demolishing Palestinian homes, using its urban planning to make it impossible for Palestinians to build, not giving them permits to build. So when their families expand, they either have to build illegally or leave the city. And if they build illegally, they get their homes demolished, costing them tens of thousands of dollars. And if they leave the city, Israel takes away the residency cards, meaning they can't come back. And this is in addition to pushing Palestinians out in other ways, making it difficult to move, revoking residency cards. Since 1967, Israel has revoked over 14,500 residency permits from Palestinians, meaning they take these permits away and Palestinians have no right to come back home wherever they are, essentially leaving them stateless. Israel has been using these kinds of policies to push out Palestinians from Jerusalem, specifically East Jerusalem. And when Chuck Schumer or others are saying Jerusalem, East and West, is the undivided capital of Jerusalem, it is lending credibility to these actions that are not only illegal, but immoral. This is called ethnic cleansing. This is called institutionalized racism. This is called apartheid. This is a political system that the world has rejected years ago. But when it comes to Israel, there seems to be some kind of exception as far as the U.S. Congress is concerned. And that should be a cause of concern for all Americans.
Right. So this cannot solely be laid at Trump's feet. This is a bipartisan issue. He will not face opposition from most Democrats for doing what he did. He's just sort of crazy and bold enough to actually move the U.S. Capitol to Jerusalem, while previous presidents have simply declared this sort of aspirations for that. Now, what has the response been on the ground among Palestinians? There have been clashes in Jerusalem over the sort of symbolic importance of Jerusalem and the actual occupation of Jerusalem for a long time. Has Trump's announcement already had a negative impact?
Oh, certainly. There have been the Palestinians, the Palestinian Authority specifically, has declared 3 days of mourning. Today was declared as a day of rage. There have been protests throughout the occupied Palestinian territories. And as of coming on this show, there have been over 100 Palestinians injured by Israel's using its very violent response to protesters. Now, Palestinians are protesting not with weapons, but expressing their anger and frustration. And the way that Israel, I can tell you firsthand experience from being on the ground for a lot of these protests, the way that Israel responds is extremely violently, firing these tear gas canisters at protesters in a way that can seriously injure and kill, and rubber-coated steel bullets, firing them sometimes from very close range where it can also kill people. Luckily, I haven't yet heard of any lives lost, but certainly many, many Palestinians injured, and I expect these protests will continue. The anger is certainly at Israel, at the United States for being an unwavering supporter of Israel, and really without the United States support, economic and political support, Israel would not be able to do what it's doing. So very justified, in my opinion, anger being directed at the United States and Israel, but also anger at the Palestinian Authority, because it was obvious a long time ago that the United States is not an honest broker in this deal. I mean, throughout ever since the peace process was enacted, the United States has done everything in its power to shield Israel from international criticism, to veto International Security Council resolutions condemning Israel's colonization of Palestinian territory and its continued stealing of land and other policies, of course, and giving Israel over $3 billion a year to continue this kind of settler colonial enterprise. And the Palestinian people have long seen that this is not any kind of a fair equation here. The United States is not an honest broker. This, in a sense, was just a nail in the coffin of, you know, the end, the death of the two-state solution and the United States as being, you know, any kind of credible party or broker in this, in any kind of peace process. Now, why the Palestinians are angry with the Palestinian Authority is because this has been obvious for many, many years now, and yet the Palestinian Authority always held out some kind of hope that the United States will do something and has really, you know, given almost everything to keep this facade of a peace process going. And that has only allowed Israel to, you know, expand its colonization of the territory, steal more land and resources, and tell the world that it is negotiating and it wants to see peace with Palestinians, all the while making peace and any kind of freedom and self-determination for Palestinians nearly impossible. So Palestinians for a long time have been saying, this is not the way to go. We need to go back to resistance, popular resistance, rejecting what the United States and Israel is trying to impose on us if we're ever going to have our freedom. And the Palestinian Authority at most has been paying lip service to the desires of the Palestinian people, but at the same time staying under the tutelage of the Americans, United States, which has brought us to this point and has not seen Palestinians come any closer to freedom. In fact, worse off today than we have been ever before. If there is something going to come out of this, it is if the Palestinian people push the Palestinian Authority, you know, the Palestinian leadership, to finally reject the American role in any kind of peace process and reject the idea, finally give up on this idea that any that a two-state solution is going to work. It's not going to work for a number of reasons. What we need to do now is declare that our aspirations and what we will be fighting for is that all of this territory, historic Palestine, from the land to the sea, is land of its people. Okay, Jewish people certainly have a claim, but the Palestinians have a claim no less to other areas of, you know, Tel Aviv, Yaffa, Haifa, Akka, no less than Jerusalem, the West Bank, Gaza. Our people were kicked out of all of these territories. We have over 7 million Palestinians that are refugees. Many aren't allowed to come home. Many aren't even allowed to visit. Israel doesn't allow this. And there can be never be any kind of peace process without recognizing this historic injustice, recognizing the Palestinian right to return to their homes, and really working for a solution where you have a country and you have a government that is going to treat all people alike, one person, one vote, a secular democratic state where, you know, everybody that wants to live and that wants to worship or anything in this area, on this piece of land, will be treated equally, be allowed to live free and with dignity.
Huwaida, Benjamin Netanyahu is hoping that the U.S.'s move to declare Jerusalem the Israeli capital will lead to other nations following suit. Emmanuel Macron, the French prime minister, has condemned what Trump did. So has Britain and Germany. Do you think that European states especially will sort of wait out the Trump term? Or could this actually push other countries to say, well, all right, if the U.S. is going to do this, we will follow suit?
No, I don't think the latter is a possibility at all, because Europe and other countries recognize that what Israel has done in terms of the status of Jerusalem is illegal under international law. And so recognizing it or lending any kind of support to it in itself is illegal. Under the Fourth Geneva Convention, which is customary international law, all countries are bound to abide by this. There is an obligation upon all countries to ensure respect for the convention. Israel's actions in Jerusalem certainly violate that convention and many other principles of international law. And so recognizing that or in any way lending support to it is in itself a violation of the obligation of countries under international law. And therefore, I don't think that they will take the step of making a declaration that will only leave them, you know, in a position where they are acting contrary to international law. I mean, if that is the case, where all countries, where countries can just act the way they want, then what is the benefit of having an international system? What is the benefit of having international laws, human rights laws? We are trying to work within a framework, and we are trying to strengthen that framework. And therefore, I don't think that the countries will do this. That's on the legal, on the legal front. On the political front, there's absolutely nothing to be gained. You make any kind of prospect of peace that much further away, and cement what I think many countries, certainly the people of these countries, if not the governments, publicly recognize has been a policy through the decades, Israeli policy of settler colonialism. That is what's happening here. In 1960, the international community, and even before that, rejected colonialism, and yet we're seeing it expand on the territory of historic Palestine today. And while countries have not been doing enough to stop Israel, I certainly don't think they'll be as foolish and reckless as President Trump in legitimizing that. Seeing Netanyahu saying that other countries will follow, I mean, I think this is just, he's almost doing what Trump does. You know, you repeat a lie over and over and over again, you repeat it enough times, somebody will probably start to believe it's true. And, you know, Trump and Israel, they have the using the same tactics, and it's quite obvious that they're on the same page, but it's not the same page that the people who are concerned with human rights, freedom and democracy around the world are on.
Well, finally, Huwaida, one other Israel-related issue that has not been getting very much news coverage is around the charges that Michael Flynn pled guilty to just a few days ago. We now know that Michael Flynn, together with Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, last December had been lobbying various countries at the United Nations to put off a UN resolution vote that would be damaging to Israel, that was essentially around Israel's settlement building on Palestinian territories. There's a question of whether or not they violated the Logan Act in doing so, because Trump hadn't been inaugurated yet and wasn't actually president. What do you make of this? This is not getting very much attention. A lot of focus is on Russia, but what about the role of the Trump administration? And then I should say Trump campaign members lobbying nations on behalf of Israel.
Well, I don't think that there is any dispute whatsoever that this happened and that it very likely constitutes a violation of the Logan Act, which is, you know, a 1799 act, which prohibits people from interfering with the foreign policy of a sitting president, which is obviously what the people within the Trump campaign had done. The thing is, no one has ever been prosecuted on the Logan Act. It is debatable, or more likely, let's say highly unlikely, that someone will be prosecuted. But in terms of bringing this to light, that it needs to be exposed, that these kinds of things are happening, you're right, it's not getting enough attention. And I think that there is so much more that is happening and that has been happening, not only in this administration, in this campaign, but also under previous administrations, certainly under former President Obama's administration, to undermine policies, from Israeli spying on the administration to people within the U.S. Congress and others colluding with Israel to undermine any kind of, or let me say, to prevent any kind of criticism or movement to actually hold Israel accountable for its violations of human rights and international law. So this has happened, as you mentioned. I think a lot more is happening. It is not getting attention because of the political climate in this country and who has the power and who is executing, so who's pushing the buttons and who's listening. But I think if we dig more, it will come out. I think as more civil society rises up, because what we're seeing with, you know, certainly what Trump's actions in recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel has made clear, is that we can't rely on the United States or any other country to do what it really, what should be done. Civil society needs to take action. And they have been, we have been, and we're going to continue, and we need to step that up in the form of boycotting, pushing boycott, divestment, and sanctions of Israel until it ends its human rights abuses and abides by international law. And as the voices of the people rise and these kinds of campaigns get stronger, I think in the event, in the end, there will be justice. In the event, I do think that Israel's settler colonialism will fall. The United States will probably be the last country trying to prop it up. But in the end, just like apartheid South Africa fell, I think that this will also fall, and we will learn the kinds of things that are have been happening to enable this shameful situation will come to light. As of now, it's not, but let us not get discouraged and keep working for a time that it will.
Hueda, thank you so much, as always, for joining us today. Appreciate your work.
Thank you, Sonali, for having me.
Hueda Araf is a Palestinian-American human rights activist. She's a lawyer. She's co-founder of the International Solidarity Movement, former chair of the Free Gaza Movement. She's also the Palestine and Refugees Correspondent for Rising Up with Sonali. We've been discussing Trump's decision to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.